one and all, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Joypad Podcast. My name is Gilbert Gottfried, and with me, as always, are my three greatest friends, Tom, Mike Fleming, and Mike Pinto. Boys, the show is yours.
Oh, you asked thank for you, that,
Gilbert.
You asked for that.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. That was just my good friend, the ghost of Gilbert Gottfried, introducing the Joypad Podcast. So thank you. Welcome, one and all. As the wonderful man himself said, my name is Tom. I'm joined by Mr. Fleming and Mr. Pinto, and we are going to have a fantastic podcast for you today. So that said, since I am the speaker, Mr. Pinto, why don't you tell me about how you're doing, what you're playing, what you're drinking, and why you hate Gilbert Gottfried, the greatest comedian of this or any generation.
I would like to first pay my respects, rest in pepperonis, Mr. Gilbert Gottfried. Now that you have passed on, the mantle of greatest comedian has, of course, been passed to Carrot Top, as we all know.
It's been that way for a while, it's not lying.
Yeah, I am drinking some freshly squeezed juice, orange juice, actually. Freshly squeezed this afternoon. It was a lot of work, but man, it's delicious. And I also have some water because hydration is key. And I have been playing Resident Evil 4, not the original, the remake. And boys, it's a great time. I am loving it. I am enjoying it. I am playing it on hardcore, which...
oh, no.
Well, okay, so the basis behind that is I booted up the game and I was like, you know, I recently played the OG the same day I was playing the remake. And in the difficulty, it says amateur for whatever. I'm not a pansy. I'm not playing on easy mode. Sorry, Tom. I'm not playing on standard because underneath hardcore, it said for those who have played the 2004 Resident Evil 4. So I was like, yeah, that's me, baby. I did that today. I did that earlier. When I tell you I died to the first dude twice, I tell you no lies.
You were a fool for trusting the game.
I was. It was very difficult. The initial village siege where, you know, you have to survive for a certain amount of time or kill a certain amount of enemies, I think it's either or. I died many, many times. I don't think it exceeded the double digits, but it was probably getting close. And when I got through it, I felt empty inside. I didn't feel satisfaction. I didn't feel happy. I was just like, this is the lot I've chosen for myself. And it was at about that point I thought, maybe I should lower the difficulty. But I didn't. I'm still playing on hardcore. That was the hardest part of the game thus far. And while it has been challenging, I've been getting along pretty well. It's very faithful to the original in some spots. Item layout, down to item layout and item spawns are original, but then they throw little wrenches in and I was like, oh, the safe spot that I had in the original is no longer there. Oops, I'm dead. And then I've been playing the game in 20 to 30 minute spurts usually because I die a lot and I get frustrated and I turn it off and then I go, man, I want to play Resident Evil. So that's been me for the past week and a half. We haven't recorded in 2 weeks because people had things going on last week, and that's fine. We all have lives. That's really all I've been playing. I did mention before the podcast that I've got a hankering to play Raft with you boys, and I hope we can do that.
No.
Damn. Well, Fleming said he has some thoughts, some complaints. I don't know if he's going to get into them right now, but I'm going to throw it to Mr. Fleming. How are your nachos? What are you drinking? What have you been playing?
My nachos are good, but I am not going to chew them for the audience because I feel like that would be inappropriate.
That is one of the worst foods that you could eat while recording an audio medium. Are you eating nachos? No.
Yeah, you can't hide that.
This is just how I sound every day.
Can't hide that. But I am still drinking the rest of my mug root beer, which is a very fantastic root beer. But as everyone knows, I'm the beverage boy, so I've got an orange LaCroix for after. And I even have, I guess you could describe it as homemade, Arnold Palmer, because I had lemonade and I had unsweetened iced tea, and I thought, those both taste delicious. Let's mix them. So
I can't decide.
Yeah, I couldn't decide, so I just decided to take both. Mostly,
I find
mostly
Arnold Palmer's strange.
You do?
I have to.
Why?
Because iced tea to me can be flavored a little bit, but like full on lemonade just is. I don't know. It's tea has a strong flavor. I don't necessarily like to mix those flavors.
I don't know. I like it. I mean, again, I had both, and I was like, well, I shouldn't have that much lemonade because I have the root beer in my hand, or about to be. So I was like, I'm going to take like 80% iced tea and a little bit of the lemonade that was still left. So it's basically just iced tea with a little bit of lemon. That's how I look at it.
A lot of Arnold and very little Palmer.
Yeah, that's basically how you can describe it. But that all aside, my drinks do not matter. I have complaints. All right. So, my boys, my friends, I have not played many, if any, games recently. I think I played a little bit of EU4, and I played a little bit of Hearts of Iron 4. And I played a little bit of Madden, because that also works. I don't know why, but every other game, Google Chrome, Firefox, not fortunately it seems Skype or Audacity, but basically everything else crashes on a consistent basis, and it pisses me off. And I looked into it, and I told you guys that I thought I fixed it, but I had not. Even YouTube videos, they crash on like every minute. I cannot watch it. Like if you guys were like, hey, watch this YouTube video and, you know, react to it, I can't do it. Come to find out, and I don't know why motherboard manufacturers are this way, because this was never the case that I remember, but certain RAM does not work with certain motherboards. They have compatibility lists, which ignorant me did not think about that DDR5 is too new and motherboards just can't work with
it. Bro, I got your hookup right here. I got these two sticks of RAM that I got for free from Microcenter, courtesy of Big Bill.
Yes, we did talk about Big Bill. That. You still need to sell that, too. You're losing money quickly, and I'll explain in a minute why. So anyway, G-Skill, which is the RAM that I bought because it was on sale, and it looked like it was a great deal, and I was like, you know what? I'll save a couple bucks over Corsair, which is my preferred over the years. You know, the G-Skill RAM that I bought is not compatible with the motherboard. Now, obviously, it's working. I'm sitting here on a podcast talking to you. But anything that I guess like abruptly changes the memory will crash things. So Google Chrome, everyone knows, is a memory hog. It crashes it. Age of Empires with the unit creation and stuff, that game even crashes. I can't get through a full game, like a multiplayer game. Try to think of another game that I've played. Those are the only games I can remember that I've played. But I'm sure I tried other games as well, seeing what was going on. But what's weird to me is that, like I said, I've been able to play Madden, no problems. I've been able to play Hearts of Iron and EU4, which I'm not too surprised because they're so CPU intensive. They're not really RAM intensive.
Wouldn't you expect there to be a lot of memory going on in those games, though?
Maybe. Like, I'm not sure, strange. But, you know, I've run... What's the weirdest part to me is I've even run like different types of benchmarks. I've run memory test stuff. All that works fine. But it's like for some reason, certain acceleration of memory or something is causing game crashes. And
do you have XMP turned on?
I've tried turning XMP on, tried turning it off. I've tried reducing the RAM speed to like 4400 or like one of the lowest DDR5 RAM speeds that are out there. I've tried running it at the acceptable. So like I said, G-Skill 6000 megahertz is not allowed. But 6400 is, supposedly compatible. So I tried to boost it and see if it would work. That made it worse. And just didn't get any better. So right now what I'm doing is not running it in XMP. I'm not running it at 6,000. I'm running it like 5,200 right now. And it's stable. And I can do things. I just can't do a lot of things. So I don't know what's up with it. I don't know why it's the case. But Newegg, fortunately, has one more week for my return. And I still, thank God, saved the original packaging. Because that's another complaint. Don't buy shit off Newegg. If you don't have the original packaging, you'll lose a lot of money. Because they won't take it back, basically, anymore. I don't know why, but they've just like... become dicks, I guess, with like returns. I may even still lose a little bit of money because I have to box it up myself. Yeah, it's really bad. But if you go onto if you go into Gigabyte and you look at motherboard RAM compatibility, like there's different ones. Asus I've seen has some similar stuff on their site. So like it just seems like it's pretty like known. I didn't think about it.
I wouldn't have thought about it for sure.
But I looked at the model number of my RAM. It's not on the compatibility list. So that sucks. Something else that I did, which was stupid but did not fix the issue, is that my motherboard has 5 NVMe slots, and I just started going in from top to bottom, and the top one is a Gen 5 one, which I don't have a Gen 5 NVMe, so who cares? But that one cuts the top PCI Express slot from X16 to X8. So I fixed that, which was great, you know, but it still didn't fix the issue. Like I said, I think it's something to do with this memory. So I decided, you know what, I can get new ones from Amazon. I ordered it earlier today because I just got fed up over the past couple days, and I just finally got to it to do more debugging. So that's my story. When you are, you know, thinking about that, you know, things like PC Part Picker might not catch it, though I don't know if I ever actually put the G-Skill memory in there to know for sure. But just like double check your stuff if you're considering doing it, because you don't want to end up in a situation where something where like memory looks fine, but just some compatibility issues. And we'll see when I have a new set if it's better. I should have gone with my gut. I love Corsair memory, and I just didn't do it. So we'll see.
That's just so strange. Like I could not tell you the last time I've even heard about like incompatible memory.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it either. But I think right now that's the only thing I can think, because my video card was fine before I moved it to this computer. I've run, you know, heavy loads on my CPU and all different kinds of things, 100% loads, and not had a problem. My computer has never blue screened on me. It's like certain software is crashing. I've tried reinstalling the software that is crashing. It doesn't matter. I've tried reinstalling the games that are crashing. It doesn't matter. Done Steam verify integrity of the game and all that. Doesn't matter. I've reinstalled my graphics drivers. That doesn't matter. I've just done what I feel like is everything, with the exception of just like basically returning and trying new parts. And that's another problem with, you know, with a situation like this, I don't have another DDR5 memory stick lying around to test. So I decided I'd order new ones. Amazon's great with returns. So if it's still an issue and I need to go to Micro Center and return a CPU potentially, or send it into Intel, you know, that's what I'll do. But it's just, I am typically not a person that has problems when I build PCs. And if I do have a problem, it's usually something really stupid, you know, not plugging in something or, you know, some other kind of minor problem. But this one is like incredibly difficult to solve. And at this point, I have to think it's memory issue. So that's the route I'm going. We'll see if I'm right, you know, in a couple days.
Yeah. Well, good luck. I mean, that's insane.
So to the point of the point of Raft, I don't know if I'll be able to play that. But I think, and you guys tell me if I'm right, didn't we play it up 2 weeks ago? And I didn't have many problems then. But I feel like it's almost gotten worse. I didn't have any problems with the game crashing. That's what I thought. So I'm not sure what to make of it.
Well, nothing else. Maybe we'll play it up.
Yeah, so hopefully it works. But to that point, like I said, I haven't really played much. Mostly Paradox games recently, because they seem to work fine, which I find so strange.
That's even more strange than other games not working. Like the Rams.
And Madden is the weirdest one. Like, why is Madden, of all games, fine? Like, that game is not well designed, and for some reason it's like, yeah, no problem. Yeah, keep going on.
I have a feeling that Madden's an idiot and throws a lot at the CPU.
Maybe. I'm not sure, but that's been working fine, too. I've had no display issues, so I can't imagine there's a video card problem. And I've had no CPU issues, like I said. Storage is fine. I looked at temps just to make sure nothing was overheating. That's all fine. So the only thing it comes down to for me is memory and potentially some kind of like voltage problem, because I know that the CPU can take a lot of voltage very quickly, or a lot of watts. It draws a lot of watts, and watts comes from voltage. So that's the only other thing I can think. But from my perspective, the best option is to return what I think is wrong versus like start to really rip it apart. And I really think it might be the memory.
Yeah. So. Well, good luck. That's terrible, and I'm sorry you haven't been able to enjoy your new computer because of it. I don't know. I'm kind of confused how a RAM company can have the same speed of memory in so many different selling points.
Yeah. Well, products, I mean, the reason for, like, I know Corsair, they have their Vengeance, which is their standard. They have their Dominator, which is, like, their typically higher-end memory. And then they have LPX, which is their low profile for, like, servers, for example, people could use it for, or for, like, small form factor PCs. I know I've seen it there. Just to point this out, the Newegg page I had open on my other monitor here just crashed. Just went to a status access violation. And apparently in Google Chrome, that is a memory leak, typically. So I don't know what to make of it, man. I'm just, I've raged for about 10 minutes now. I don't need to rage anymore. I'm very disappointed because, as you said, you know, this was not a cheap build. The memory itself, you know, several hundred dollars. And I feel like I didn't go right away with, like, the upgrade. I'm not, like, the first purchaser of DDR5 memory. So it's just a little bit disappointing from that regard, but
yeah. I have it. I had no issues. I bought it dummy style and just threw it in my computer and it worked.
Yeah, but I will say a lot of people are saying 13th gen and DDR5 is just a little bit
13th
gen. Yeah, so I wonder if that might have something to do with it. But I've seen other people post and people have tried different memory and seem to resolve it. So that's the route I'm going. I will update the podcast next week on that. So anyway, before he left, did Gilbert Gottfried give you a topic tonight, Tom?
Not really. I mean, he told me to talk about a lot of things, but I don't think any of them really fit for discussion on this podcast. Most of them are offensive to varying degrees of people. I mean, to be honest, I kind of wasn't listening after a certain point just because you have to tune that voice.
And yes, I'm pretty sure I think our viewer count is much lower than normal because of the fact that we started that way. But that's okay.
Even with a celebrity intro, I think the celebrity intro is a great lead.
It was a very good lead, and I really appreciate his time. But anyway, I don't know how much you told us about your drinking and playing and other things. So how are those things going?
Yes, I have said none. I just have some water. I have been playing a couple games. I'm doing good. I've been at my new job almost a month now, which is kind of crazy. Still not, like, hyper busy with that the way I was with my last job, so I am mega enjoying that right now. But yeah, I've been playing a couple different games. I have been doing the Stardew Valley, been doing the a little bit. I just got into year 3 today, and Gus sells stills now, so I can just buy stills from Gus for like $1,000 instead of making them myself. So I have like a bunch of sheds that just have things going in them. I have a shed where I'm just growing crops perpetually in pots. It's like a greenhouse when you put in that, like, never wear out fertilizer. Like, it always stays watered. You water it once, and then you just grow shit forever.
And then you forget about it, and, like, a month later, you come back, you're like, oh, shit, everything's grown.
Which is fine. I'm fine with that. I love it. And you know what? I've been, like, trying to play it this time with the attitude of, like, I don't have to farm myself to death. So, like, if I forget about something, it's okay. Like, I'll miss it one day. I can come back to it to the next day. It just ends up as money, one way or the other.
It's true.
So I'm trying to make it a more... Like, I feel like I have such an anxious experience with Stardew Valley the first time I played it, where it's always trying to keep up. And I don't think it's supposed to be that game. It's supposed to be a more relaxing game. So I'm trying to make it that way. And so far, so good. So, in addition to that, I have played some Madden, actually. The NFL draft just happened last week, as of when we're recording. So there was a lot of hype around that, and I think that got me interested in playing that again. My team's still stupid. So I played a couple games, and I was like, yeah, I'm good. And haven't played again in a little while. Two things. One... it was my birthday this past Tuesday. Yay me.
Yay.
So I was gifted games by the one, the only gaming daddy, Dave. I have High on Life in my library now. And another game that I had in my wish list, I think, is called like something about King.
King's Quest.
King of the Castle is what it's called. Which is a great name because it makes me feel like Borat, but it's also basically just like all of the kind of decision making that you have in like Crusader Kings, without, I think, quite as much of like the nation managing from like that strategic standpoint. So it's simpler, it's a very pixely kind of game, but it seemed pretty cool. So I will give that a go at some point, and same with High on Life. I feel a little bit weird about High on Life because of the whole Justin Roiland thing. But at the same time, I know that he only had so much involvement in it, and the rest was like a bunch of game designers and developers who have families to take care of and feed, and probably made a very great game.
So you're taking the Hogwarts Legacy opinion on this one.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a creative work, and I shouldn't defund all of the people that worked hard on it because one guy's an asshole. That's how I'm kind of looking at that. And it's not a matter, like, with Hogwarts Legacy, I think it's more of, like, the subject matter rises above its creator. That's really how I see it, along with the developer thing. But with this one, I mean, what's the subject matter anyway? It's just that kind of goofy, like, Rick and Morty style kind of thing. Whatever. I like Rick and Morty.
You must be very intelligent.
Oh, always. Yeah, I walk around and profess it and then beat people up for Szechuan sauce. That makes me smart. Anyway, so there's another game which I actually have actively started playing, which, Fleming, you brought up Paradox Games. I actually came to the realization that a shit ton of the games I play over the last year or two are Paradox games, and they vary so wildly that it surprises me sometimes. But anyway, Age of Wonders 4 was just released yesterday or the day before. I have played Age of Wonders 3, and I found it kind of wanting, but I like the idea. So I got Age of Wonders 4, and I played it, and I got really into it, and I was like, okay, this is what I was looking for with Age of Wonders 3. So I'm very excited by that game. It's a fusion of, like, XCOM meets Civilization meets fantasy, kind of World of Warcraft-y. But you have a lot of customization features over, like, your people and your hero and stuff, and you get, like, different weapons and armor, and it's very cool. It plays into a lot of the things that I enjoy as a player of games. So the least of which being, and I love this, and I knew I have to bring it up on the podcast, I had one encounter recently. So you have, like, quests and encounters, which when you resolve, that'll give you options. This one was, I disrupted, like, a dark ritual, and the options were, like, stop it throughout their books, learn what you can from their books, or, like, continue the ritual and summon and control a creature of true darkness. And it told me, like, in the thing that the creature was a dire penguin. And I was like, yeah, a creature of true darkness, a dire penguin. I must have one. So, yeah, now there's just this crazy possessed penguin running around in my army, and he helps me fight shit. And if that doesn't convince you to buy this game, then I don't know who the fuck you are. So, yeah, Age of Wonders 4. I have about 4 hours invested into it at this point, and I would give it a thumbs up. It seems like there were a lot of troubles when it was initially launched. It was, like, kind of crashing on launch for everybody. But it seems like they also fixed it pretty quickly. So, when that's the case, I'm fine with it. Like, as long as it's working now, it's fine. Like, I think there's a lot of things that crop up like that where people get upset and they're like, oh, it didn't work right away on launch. And yeah, you should do your best to make sure that
review bomb it.
That's what happened. And listen, you should make every effort to make sure that happens, that it runs on launch. But if it doesn't and you're able to fix it very quickly, you're doing your best. Do your best.
Well, I mean, the cat is out of the bag, if you will, because, like, people have very little patience, and I think it's not because of cases like that, but it's because of cases like Cyberpunk, or trying to think of another game that came out in the past couple years that had that problem. I just feel like sometimes, like, people, like, you could clearly see that the testing was incredibly limited, and it only worked on the
in some games,
and it only worked on developers' PCs, and
yeah,
they people conflate that with a case of like, hey, when we pushed it, we didn't get the latest version of DirectX, you know, installed, and all of you were so smart that you're all on DirectX like 55 or whatever now, and we just didn't.
We had a controlled version.
Yeah, and a controlled version, so we didn't push to that yet. So now we just did a quick update, and now it's fixed. You know, less than 24 hours after launch. That's why I also think
it was like within 1 hour of launch or something like that. It was very
and that's
quick.
Why I think like a lot of people just over like they're just so they always put everything into the same bucket when really that's not supposed to be what you do. But
yeah, and I mean I'm gonna throw it out there, gamers can be assholes.
No. Like,
I mean what? And it kind of pisses me off.
Oh, it pisses me off too.
Because. In general, I feel like humans tend too much towards being total jackasses, and when you're a part of a community, as I kind of feel like I would throw myself in with, you want that community as a whole to
do better,
but, you know, actually, like, do better, and, you know, be nice to the people who are making these amazing feats of technology for you. Like, can you appreciate how much fucking work goes into one game? Like, the fact that Stardew Valley was made by one person and came out as awesome as it is like a modern miracle. And then when you look at something like Age of Wonders 4 and it has a slight glitch for like 30 minutes and you're, you know, in a crying fit over it, get over yourself. Just, you have to give people leeway and... you know, you have to appreciate just how complex everything is and that things can go wrong. Now that's, you know, the middle case, I would say, you know, that's the middle case, give people some leeway. The other case is Cyberpunk, which is where the developers genuinely did not get enough time to finish the game and make it playable. And that was a shit show. And that's a case where it's like, yeah, don't rush your game to market.
But I still don't really blame the developers there. Like, I mean, I'm not in that case, but like that,
I guess the
producers. That was, yeah, producer, project manager, probably those two who should have been sitting down and saying the game is not ready and it's going to financially hurt this quarter, or, you know, it's going to cost more money to get it out there, but you will do irreparable damage. Because like, I haven't played it. And I know it's become a fantastic game, but the one thing I know about it is it's terrible launch. Like, and how many refunds and like people selling it, you know, immediately and all kinds of stuff.
I got a refund for it.
So like I think that's the bigger thing, that like you just want to avoid that.
Yeah. 100%. And I think any of that is more important than getting your game out, you know, early to drive some sort of profit level or whatever. Because honestly, it is a good game now. My wife played it. She dealt with some level of crashing, not a whole lot, because she played it on PC, on a good PC. And, you know, she still had a good time at the level that she had on the PC. It was unplayable on a PS4. So, I mean, you just cannot. And I got like 2 or so hours into the game on the PS4 before it started having a whole lot of issues. And that's what's kept me from playing it again. I have a copy on my PC that I played some of because she and I were playing next to each other a couple Christmases ago. And I'm stuck on, like, I don't want to repeat all this story stuff that I already did before. Like, I know what happens. It takes time. I don't want to work through it. And that's it. That's really it. So, I mean, like, the bungled launch is what's keeping me from enjoying my game.
Yeah. Did they do a beta, the Paradox Age of Wonders, or no?
I'm not sure. I would have to take a look. But I wouldn't put it past them. It also seems like Paradox does a pretty clean job on getting their games ready for initial launch. Nothing's perfect, but they do like a decent job.
No, I agree. However, I would say that the biggest complaint that I hear about Paradox games is that... they DLC things that you would expect to have been in the game. Like, it's like, you know, oh, you have a navy, but you can't do blockades. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Like, this is a strategic world map, you know, a Europa Universalis, where trade and blockades are very normal things. I have a navy, and you're saying to do that, I need to buy another DLC. Or, like, you know, you gave a mission tree to England and to France, but you didn't give a mission tree to, you know, Spain or something. It's like, well, wait a minute. Like, Spain was another huge country in, you know, the years 1400 to 1800, and you just skipped them? Like, and that's the kind of stuff that I know a lot of people get upset about, because, like, it's just expected, I guess, features of the game, and they just... They're like, nope, you'll pay another $10 or $20 to get that, you know, in 6 months.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if it's to their credit or detriment, but they're releasing something that works.
Yeah.
And then they're adding in, you know, other things that work later. But they are things that you might find lacking in the meantime. Again, a lot of that is in EU4, and I totally recognize that. EU4 seems to be the biggest case for that, like... There's just a million expansions for that game, and it's stupid if you look at what it costs to buy all those. Mm-hmm. I think it's over $300-$400.
It is.
It's nuts. But Crusader Kings, on the other hand, I've never really felt that issue. So I'm trying to even think of like the things that they added in their last real DLC were like artifacts and the ability to get and trade and fight over, you know, that kind of stuff. And they add bonuses to your royal court, and you get a nice little window where you can do that. And I'm sure there were some other things, too, that I'm just not really remembering. I think the Iberian Struggle was a DLC. That's, like, a specific scenario. Things like that. But the game's perfectly playable without that stuff. It's not like there's really, like, a unit function that's really missing there. It's more like they just kind of add flavor enhancers as they go along at this point. Which is fine. I'm fine with that. And so far, that's, you know, Age of Wonders has been kind of the same way. I haven't seen anything that's lacking. I did buy the version with the expansion pass because I know they're going to add a lot of expansions that have stuff I'm probably going to want. I know the other Age of Wonders games, it's mostly been they add like new races and features for like classes and stuff over time. Which is cool. Like, there was one where you can play as, like, these undead people, which are completely different in Age of Wonders 3. And, of course, I had no idea how to play, and that's how I tried playing it for the first time.
I will just point out, too, I wasn't 100% sure of the year, but EU4 came out in 2013. It came out just shy of a year ago. So it's, like, or just shy of 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
In a couple of months. Yeah. So it's, like, not surprising that to keep the game going, they've been adding more things. It's just that they're not doing, like... Like, I would understand if they did not make the Mayan civilization do something and they put, like, a patch, or they put out a DLC for that. But, like, they'll add critical functionality in that DLC and then charge you $20 when really you just wish that they had given you the base core functionality earlier on. And I'm trying to think of a good example. I could look it up maybe if we want to keep going with this. But I think one of them was like giving one of the challenges if you want to like vassal a country is that they will hate you if you do not give them back a core that they like one of their core provinces. And there was no way to give them back a core province without like surrendering to them basically at the first versions of the game. So stuff like that was just never designed well, and like when people call it out, it's not like, oh, here's a free DLC that gives you that. It's, oh, buy, you know, the countries of India, you know, DLC, or like the Mandate of Heaven for China stuff. Like if you try to play as the Ming Dynasty, which falls apart at like the start of the game, they created a DLC to like kind of get your way through that, because if you don't have that, you just will fall apart. There's no way to like kind of get out of it. So some of that kind of stuff just I wish it was like core functionality, but the game's 10 years old. They need to keep making money on it if they're going to keep putting time into it. So it's like GTA 5, right? We'll never have GTA 6.
Oh, GTA, yeah. I mean, that's... Again, I don't know how to feel about... Like, EU4, I don't feel like it's great, right? Like, mm-hmm. some of those patches are just, like, you're pushing things that should be bug fixes mm-hmm. or balance fixes into DLCs. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. But GTA 5, at least, is just like, hey, you're online, here's new missions for online.
Yeah.
Like, and they just keep making new missions for online.
I was conflating the idea of gaming companies trying to keep a product relevant for many, many years instead of designing something new.
They added fishing to Skyrim.
Yeah, that's true. That's, there we but go. I think...
Look, you can play it in VR now.
But new content, like, it's like we now have added multiplayer, so pay us a little more to get multiplayer. Oh, we've added, 100 new missions, and we brought back your fan favorites, like Lester, I think his name was, right? We brought him back for, for 40 of them. Like, that's true content, and you don't need it to have a full experience. It just makes it a little better. But I don't know.
It would be like if StarCraft was pushing, like, unit changes in, like, DLC.
Exactly, yeah.
Which... I guess they have to some degree, but all of it also when you're online gets patched immediately.
Yeah.
So it's strange. It's a strange realm that EU4 dwells in, and I don't quite care for that.
Yeah, well, it's now become like a running theme of Paradox games, especially EU4 and Hearts of Iron is the other one that I see a lot of DLCs for.
How old is Hearts of Iron 4? That game's got to be fairly old at this point.
I don't think it's actually as old as EU4, because there was Hearts of Iron 3 is considered the best one. It came out in 2016, so not too...
Okay, 7 years.
Not quite as long.
That's long enough to be on the life support cycle with the DLCs.
It should be. But they just came out with a new one last year, I believe, so...
Yeah, that's just what they do with it. I mean, it's surprising
that
what
is
they
how
do
they
with
work.
Those games. CK2, I think, even had a whole lot of DLCs. Like, there's one where there's a talking horse named Glitterhoof, and there's a way to become, like, I don't know, the child of, like, touched by God or something like that. Like, there's all these crazy things that can happen in that game. Yeah. Yeah, things you see when you browse the Crusader Kings Reddit looking for Crusader Kings 3 things, and you see all this nonsense in Crusader Kings 2, and you're like, what the hell happened before I started playing this game? But anyway, I digress. This has been the Paradox moment. But yeah, I don't know. I despite their flaws, I tend to like a lot of the games that Paradox has been involved with lately. Age of Wonders 4, Crusader Kings 3, and Stellaris, which is aging, but I think Stellaris is probably closer to 2020 than it is, you know, some of those other games. And again, has some pretty good difficulty adjusters on that one, because I tried playing that on normal and got my ass kicked, and then I put it on easy and I'm having a better time. So it's been a while since I've played that one, but that's okay too.
I have a question for everybody. Does anyone know if Diablo 4 came out? Wasn't it coming out?
I think it's in closed beta.
Has anyone heard anything review-wise or anything?
I know Husky's been playing it, who has just reappeared from the nethers of the internet.
That's a name
after,
I haven't heard in forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a name I have not heard in a... many years. And
June 6, 2020.
Okay. To the Usky Husky.
Yeah, let's not.
Let's not. I don't know, man. Like, I just, again, I've had such a bad taste in my mouth from Blizzard. Maybe a poor choice of words. For the past couple, I don't know, I guess years, ever since, like, first off, the content they put out has not been great, in my opinion. You know, I am one man, but I have not been interested by anything that Blizzard has done in quite a number of years. And then just all the PR that came out where it was just like, wow, they're a shitty, shitty, shitty butt company. And I was just like, I don't like them enough to want to support them through all that nonsense.
It was I think it was kind of the opposite of the Hogwarts Legacy case, where it's like the developers and the producers and executives really were in on the toxic kind of, I mean, I don't think it's overstatement to call it rape culture.
Yeah,
rape did happen.
You really wanged it, boys. Again, poor choice of words, but like, I just, how can you want to, well, I mean, obviously they still have plenty of supporters who don't care about that sort of thing, but I can't want to support them.
Well, and I mean, I have a good example of people just forget over time. Like, I have a good friend from Texas who was a big World of Warcraft player. It was around that time that WoW Classic came out. And the whole group that I play tabletop RPGs with down there decided we were going to play WoW Classic. So we all got it. We played for a couple nights. And then the shit hit the fan, I think, not even with the Bobby Kotick stuff, but with the... Who was the player in Hearthstone in Hong Kong said something about... I don't know if it was Hong Kong or Tibet or what, but they
made some sort of political statement.
Yeah. And it angered China, and Blizzard smacked them down and like disqualified them from professional.
Yeah, I remember that happening.
So I think it was around that time that we all said like, wow, fuck Blizzard, and we quit. Like, there was a whole movement of people doing that. And then, you know, shut everything down. So he was a big WoW guy. He shut down all his WoW stuff. I want to say within a year, he started playing WoW again. And he was like, talked to him about it, and he was just like, I've just been playing this game for like 10 years and I just have this itch to play this game. Like, I need to play it. And it was just like, yeah, that kind of stuff just sinks in sometimes, you know? I mean, it's hard if you're on the hook, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's plenty of people who, you know, in the public consciousness have already forgotten this kind of thing, and they say, oh, shiny new Diablo, or they say, oh, shiny new Overwatch 2, and they go and play. I mean, I booted Overwatch 2 up out of curiosity, but I didn't spend a dime on it. It was already there.
I haven't been interested in a Blizzard game in a very long time, and I would agree with you, Tom, that there's a very big difference between Hogwarts Legacy, that has a creator that people do not like for various views, that she still holds, but the developers have, you know, are completely separate from that. They wanted to create a game based on this world, versus Blizzard, which is almost the opposite of, people love the people that created those games. Like, those people are gonna go down in history. What's his name? Chris Metzen, I believe, who created StarCraft. I think he was one of the original creators, and like, the idea of Jim Raynor, I think, came from him. Like, that's awesome. And he, you know, he's already been out of Blizzard for a very long time. So, you know, people can love StarCraft still, but they can't necessarily, they should not, from my perspective, at least, support the company, because they have not completely fixed the issues that we know they've had for the past, you know, let's just say 10 years. It might be longer or shorter, I don't know, but... You know, so it's just very different from my perspective how those two kind of things are.
Yeah, one's like a corporate infestation. The other's like, there's a great creative idea that has been brought to life by a studio that has nothing toxic within them. It's just that the creator of the idea ended up being a douchebag.
Yeah.
And it's like, to me, the idea can exist outside of the douchebag, but I don't think if your company is full of douchebags that I can excise them from that.
So no, Diablo 4 hasn't come out yet.
Okay, well, I wasn't sure. I've seen some posts about it, so I didn't know if, like, anyone had heard anything at all about the beta or anything. But
I haven't even looked up anything about it, to be honest with you. Like, and again, this is a case of Diablo 3 was such drizzling poopy, whatever. I should have been more creative with that. I didn't like Diablo 3, and it made me so upset that I was not interested in Diablo 4.
Which is so sad, because Diablo 2, looking back on my life, was one of my favorite games of all time.
They did the same. Diablo remasters. Like, did either of you guys get those?
Nope.
They redid one. They remastered 1 and 2. Oh. And it was supposed to be this. And I barely heard about it. Like, I haven't heard good or bad about it, but I know what happened.
They came out in the dark times of Blizzard. I'm not giving them my money. Oh, okay. That's what happened.
Makes sense.
That may also be part of it. Well, and I could go down a rabbit hole about remastering games and how companies have, like, and other kinds of content creation has gone down that rabbit hole.
And how many companies are creatively bankrupt and are just like, yeah, what's the actual shit?
Let's go down the rabbit hole.
Disney's doing that, you know, nonstop as well.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen the live-action Flounder and Sebastian?
Oh, the Flounder is terrifying. Yeah, Flounder is terrifying.
The Sebastian weirds me out, too. That's a big thing. Like, I actually was just saying to my wife, because we saw a commercial for The Little Mermaid.
My life.
And I was like, okay, number one, it's great that, like, little black girls get, like, a black Disney princess to look up to, and that's awesome. And, you know, I know Tiana, Princess and the Frog, that whole thing. Couldn't they have made an original idea and, like, made that the launching pad for that?
And that has,
like,
nothing,
that would be so much
that
cooler.
Has nothing to do with the fact that The Little Mermaid was originally white. It just has the fact that, too, that she's not the perfect relatable character for, you know, at least from my perspective, for like little black girls. Like you said, there could be a, you know, a character that is true to them, true to their culture. Little Mermaid is not true their culture. So,
well, I think it could be anybody, Little Mermaid or, like, you know, Beauty and the Beast, whatever. Like, if Beauty and the Beast were an original idea and they decided to have Belle be black, that's fine.
Well,
I don't care.
Would, but,
you know, but, like, yeah, but just have it be an original
yes,
idea.
That's what
I'm saying
too.
Like, Disney, instead of pulling back from the well and then trying to throw, like, a... I mean, it's kind of weird to me, too, that they pull from the well and, like, try to throw a coat of paint on it, and they're like, look, it's a black girl! It's like, okay, cool. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm happy if, you know, kids have idols that look like them. I think that's very important. But I think it would be all the more meaningful if you came up with a new idea that you could do that with, too.
Well, if you look at, like, how they made Moana, right? They brought in people of that culture, you know, that historical culture to truly make that character. And then I know they're doing, like, aren't they doing a live?
They're doing a live action. They already fired a guy for being too white, I think.
I was going to say
there's controversy about
and then Lilo and Stitch is another one that I know they were.
Maybe it was that one.
It was Lilo and Stitch was the one I was thinking of, yeah.
But it's just I don't know what to make of all that. But I think the better option would be, like you said, Tom, to be original ideas, because then you don't have a lot of this kind of thing occur, and also you can potentially make someone who fits more with, like, with the person that you're trying to reach. Just my perspective.
Yeah, and I mean, I honestly just think, like, there's no need to tell the same story twice.
But yeah.
And as a kid, I found the cartoons almost more relatable and interesting than the live action stuff. I loved cartoons as a kid. If you put any cartoon in front of me, I would probably watch it. If you put live action in front of me, I was like, get this the hell away from me.
Yeah.
I'm
so,
still
like,
kind of
I don't
like
know.
That since most of the shows I watch are just adult cartoons now. I don't mean hentai.
I probably am too.
I mean, like, BoJack Horseman and Bob's Burgers, etc.
Listen, man, no one was thinking it until you said it, so...
And it's art.
I'm trying to think, has this stuff happened in, like, to keep it around video games and get away from Disney again?
Hentai?
Has this happened in... Yeah, that too. Has this happened in video games, like, in the same way? I don't...
Dude,
like, Resident Evil...
Final Fantasy Pixel Remasters.
Yeah, I'm currently playing a remaster right now, Resident Evil 4. They've already remastered 2 and 3.
Yeah.
They're probably going to remaster Code Veronica.
But they haven't changed the... That... Oh, that's going to be an interesting one, Pinto. Code Veronica with the... the guy who is actually playing his, like, sister.
Yeah, I've been seeing that a lot, where people were saying if they remake Code Veronica, they're probably going to have to change Alfred's story, because people will be like, you have a man cross-dressing in my video game? Ah!
Well, or are they going to go the opposite?
Everyone was fine with it in the Final Fantasy VII
remake.
Are they going to
make it a... Like, are they going to make him a trans guy or something to try to, like, and cut her, if you will, out of the story and just make it?
I don't think they could do that. That would alter the story. Like,
yeah, I haven't played that one in so long. Big way.
You want to be safe? Just do it the exact same way that it was already done.
Yeah.
It's already out there in the ether. Preserve the story.
Yeah, that's how I would do it anyways.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I mean, we're, I actually don't have a whole lot of problem with the games that have been significantly upscaled. So like when we're talking about Resident Evil 3 and 4, there's a pretty significant difference the play of those games.
Yeah. And well, I was going to say something about like the amount of time that's passed since the original release and the remaster, but you know, kind of can't make that same point about movies if it's, you know, The Little Mermaid probably came out in like the 80s. I have no idea.
Early 90s.
Sure. But yeah. I guess it's comparing apples to oranges, even though I don't see why fruit can't be compared. But I think video games,
I do think if there's big mechanical differences or like experiential differences, it's okay to do a remake, remaster, whatever the hell you want to call it, but it doesn't give you leeway to not produce original content.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
'Cause,
Square is making plenty of original games.
Yes.
At the same time that they're doing Tactics Ogre Reborn, Front Mission, whatever the hell it's called, where they redid that one, and Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is actually, I find, a quite different retelling of that story, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it, and I can't wait for the second edition chapter. I don't know what the fuck they're calling it. But pixel remasters of Final Fantasy VI... I'm not happy about that.
I mean, I already own most of those games. I'm probably not going. I mean, to be fair, I've seen some screenshots and the backgrounds look super nice, but it's still just 2D sprites, you know?
Yeah. Who do you guys think they're really, like, I've thought about this recently. Who do you think they're, like, making these, let's say, remasters for? Like, I in the case of like a StarCraft Brood War, I think they've done it for the fact that they know there's a, like, that game is going to stay alive from a competitive perspective. People probably aren't going back to it to play this story, so like that is in one bucket. But like a game like Resident Evil, like, is that trying to reach Pinto, you know, yourself, you, or is it trying to reach, like, you know, the idea of, like, it's been out for 15 years, they're remaking it, and now you can show your son when you were 15 and, like, game that you loved?
I think that's part of it. Like
both!
You think it's both?
Well, here's the thing. Like, they remastered The Last of Us, which is now, of course, The Last of Us Part 1. And, like, that game's 10 years old. The original came out in 2013. And they obviously upscaled the graphics, but they've done that several times where they were like, it's a, you know, HD remaster, then they did it for the PS5, and then they did the complete remaster, where how much better can you make the game look? A fair bit, of course, but the big difference is, and I haven't played it, but I'm sure if Megan were here, she'd back me up, the controls are much, much smoother, because if you... Yeah. And I experienced this. I played The Last of Us 2, and going back to play The Last of Us 1 is very clunky.
Yeah.
It almost feels like a chore to play. Even if you enjoy the story, when the gameplay becomes unenjoyable, you kind of don't want to go back to it.
Yeah, it helps a lot when you have that kind of upgrade in a remaster. And Pinto, you took the words out of my mouth with that one. But another one that I think is the same thing is there's a game on GameCube that I love very much called Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes. And all it is a remaster of Metal Gear 1, because Nintendo didn't get a version of it around that generation for the PS1. It only came out for GameCube, which was around the PS2 generation. So they did it in that level of graphics, and they included mechanics like first-person shooting from Metal Gear Solid 2. And it makes it a much better game.
I think a big part of it is, and you know, we've discussed this before with how much better can graphics really get, that we are going to hit a point where, like, if we remaster all all these games, not every game in existence, but remaster the classics, the cult classics, and the hidden gems, if you will. It's going to hit a point, though, where it's like, we can't make this shit look any better. And yeah. What do you do then?
Make a new game.
Yes, that's what I was getting at, Tom. But, you know, that I feel like that's kind of where we're at. Like, I am enjoying the heck out of some Resident Evil 4. And now it's like, which one are they going to remake next? No one's talking about Resident Evil 9 now. Which, Village isn't that old. It's, what, maybe 2 years old? But...
yeah.
No, I haven't heard anyone being like, oh, I wonder when Resident Evil 9 is going to come out. It's, oh, I wonder if they're going to remake 5 or Code Veronica next.
Yeah. You know what's... this just popped into my mind. Another compelling case for all of this is Pokemon.
Yeah.
Because there are so... like, it's just a thing that happens now is that Pokemon games get remastered. And I would almost actually be elated if they were to remaster Red and Blue again, or Gold and Silver again, because they've changed that system so much. And those are like, that's my nostalgia.
Right.
Those are my nostalgia games for Pokemon. But I also love the new ones that they come out with, and I'm glad that they keep coming out with the new ones. But I enjoy those remasters as well, because enough time passes and enough improvement in the technology and systems happen that it does become a chore to go back and play those games. Like, battles are painfully long
yeah.
in some of those old games.
And how, like, how long ago did Fire Red and Leaf Green come out? Or even Heart Gold and Soul Silver? Like, those were DS games?
Like, 2005?
Heart Gold and Soul Silver were, I think, 2010.
Oh, they're older
yeah,
than
so
I thought.
Leaf Green and Fire Red were, what, Game Boy Advance, I think, even?
They were Game Boy Advance.
So, yeah.
Yep. It's quite a leap. And, I mean, they just did Diamond and Pearl 2 or 3 years ago. I did that one. That was pretty good. That's on the Switch. And before that, they did Sapphire Ruby on the 3DS. And I had that one, too. And those were great. Those are good games. I had never played them on their original systems, but they were good in their remaster form.
Well, I just want to add that I would play the fuck, and I have to use that word for the game, out of a Chrono Trigger remaster. Like
but
that would be...
to what degree do you want it remastered?
Well, okay, story I would not want changed at all. Because I'm personally of the opinion that the story, when it's done, should be the story that it is. I don't like when people change them. And we saw that with Final Fantasy VII, right? With me. I don't like... even if it makes it better or more clear, I think that the content lives as it ended at that time. So I would not want them to change a single part of the story, even if it made it a little bit better or they made it a little bit faster. But the idea of being able to play it in a 3D version of the game would be interesting. Being able to actually watch like certain scenes that they had to do in cinematic form, for
with
example,
voice acting
would be another awesome thing. Like,
Chrono has no voice. It's
yeah, that's
fine.
True.
That would make it a little tough. Yeah, that's true. But I think that that game deserves it, and the fact that it's
some love.
Well, and the fact that it's being like very much like ignored, probably because of the history behind that game and the developers.
I don't think it's being ignored.
You think it's gonna come?
Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
I don't think Chrono Trigger is being ignored at all. I think in its current state, it's still very much acknowledged, praised, sought after.
But I meant like remastered is being ignored.
I think remastering it is a very dangerous path.
Yes.
Because there are going to be a lot of people who are purists that are going to be... they would bristle at the mere mention of the 3D graphics. And then you have a lot of question around what kind of 3D graphics are you going to do?
Are we going to have anime beautiful boys like Final Fantasy 15? Or are we going to stay cartoonish like the Final Fantasy 3DS remakes?
I was thinking like Dragon Quest
or
too.
That.
Like there's a lot
oh,
of
yeah.
modern
well,
Dragon
that's
Quest
very,
pixel shading.
That's very Akira Toriyama style. So
yeah, like which way are you gonna go? What fits, you know? Or do you go like Secret of Mana kind of style with it and just try and just 3D add up just a little bit? I don't think it would be bad. I think that could be a very good game, and I think it would be very different and interesting to see Chrono Trigger from a 3D perspective. I think that would add a lot to it. But I think it's dangerous. I think it's not the safe play. And I think a lot of studios, Square's definitely one of them, don't want to take that path. They're scared.
Well, the other thing, too, is that you made me think about by saying that is the music. So I think I've said it before, mm-hmm. Chrono Trigger is my favorite game soundtrack probably ever.
Don't you touch that music.
And, well, if they go 3D, you can't put in, like,
16-bit chip tune.
Like, it would just, like... It wouldn't flow. I mean, maybe they could like give it to a really good writer who can like just kind of build it into what, you know. I don't even know, is the guy that wrote it originally? Yeah, like, is he still alive?
Yeah.
Well, give back to him and say do it even better, and I bet you it would be awesome.
Well, it was Nobuo Uematsu did work on that. I can't remember the main. Is it?
I don't Yoko know Japanese Shimomura? Names.
No, well, no, I don't remember.
But
I don't know composers. The one thing I know is they kind of did that for 7 Remake. Where they took a lot of the existing themes that were there for PlayStation, and then they kind of like rearranged them and brought them into a more modern feel for the remake. Fleming's Frozen.
Yeah, I was frozen. Yeah. That was weird. But I never lost my audio track. Like, it still kept recording, but...
We can still hear you.
It's good. Your video is... You look fairly amused in your frozen webcam state.
That's funny, because I can't believe that it actually didn't ever restore the video, but...
Fine. I think we're about out of time anyways.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. I'm looking good over there. Look at that handsome man.
I try to get more out of the picture. Yeah, but
my computer's like, you've been on that too long. The memory is not happy anymore.
We gotta drain the memory swamp.
Yeah, something like that.
don't even go there. there he is. Okay, so let's I guess we'll wrap it up. We're about at that mark. We've been having some spirited discussion though, which I like. If you are a game studio, cleanse your toxicity. Don't let those toxic people be in your company, and if they expose themselves for doing terrible, terrible things, get the fuck rid of them. What the fuck is wrong with you? And then the other piece would be if you're looking to remake or remaster a game, build creativity into it. Make it important. Make it functional. Don't make it just like a little zhuzh up on the detail. Make it big. And also, can you make real original ideas?
Please?
Just do that. Just do that for us, please.
Yeah.
Okay, so beyond that, this has been the Joypad Podcast. If you'd like to check us out, we are on joypadpod.com. We have a whole bunch of links there to all of our social channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those things we don't use except Facebook, and our Gmail, all those different things, YouTube.
Thank you.
We do put videos up on the YouTubes. We will aim to produce more of those this year at some point. And yeah, if you have any feedback, let us know. We're happy to take it. Topic suggestions, random rants, comment on my hair. It looks crazy today. I don't know. And yeah, that will do it for the podcast. As I said, game developers, come up with better ideas. Fight me. Or I have the ghost of Gilbert Gottfried on my side. What are you going to do about it?
I was about to say I have the ghost of Paul Rubens on my side, but he's still alive.
Paul Rubens?
Yeah. I don't know why.
This podcast brought to you by the ghost of Paul Rubens, a man who is not yet dead.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.